Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Living on Blockchain. Today, we are speaking to Daniel. Daniel is the co-founder of Offchain, the London chapter. And, you know, he's doing, along with Offchain, a wonderful job of creating more awareness and education in the Web3 space by Web3 meetups. He has been around the block for a while, and this was a very interesting conversation dealing with adoption. So you really don't want to miss this one. Let's jump right in.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you so much for taking out the time to speak to me today. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Very good. Especially,
Awesome. For our listeners, would you like to tell us a little about yourself and, you know, your journey so far in the Web3 space?
Yeah, was the question. My journey in the Web3 space?
Yes, like a little about yourself and a little about your journey so far in the Web3 space.
Yeah, well, so my name is Daniel Simon. I'm the founder for Offchain London. So we build a global crypto community, I would say like global. So it's like global and local at the same time. So we have 55 chapters. So we are in 55 countries already, but I'm building in London myself. But I can tell you like a long story short. Basically, I started crypto in January 2018 at the worst time when top of the bull market, you know, like bought Ethereum like $1,050 or $1,000, and then 900, 700, 500, 300, and then 80, and I bought the bottom as well.
Yeah,
which was great, but then I invested like 100 ETH, invested into like a shitcoin, like altcoin, which obviously I believed in that time, and I was a big supporter of the project, like Yggdrasil. So anyway, I lost a lot of money with all kinds of altcoins and risky projects, failed projects, scam, Ponzi, and so on. You know how it goes. But then eventually I found Phantom. I mean, I knew Phantom even before, but I invested into Phantom like March 2020. Little money, because I lost most of my money by that time already. So I invested like little money. Like, I don't know, little money, really, $1,000 or something like that, or less, little, yeah. And but then that Phantom became like a big success, because I was also working with them and shilling them and promoting them 24/7 for the next 18 months. And this became like, I achieved like a 1,200 times of the investment, 1,200. So this is what you want to do, crypto. This is the magic. When it's finally, you're not losing like so much, going to zero, but it can go to opposite as well, to go to the moon, really. So yeah, that's
absolutely.
Yeah, so that was great. That's when you get your money back, and you get, you know, that's what you want to hear in crypto. Now, obviously now we crashed badly, like last year, 69,000 November, and then even Phantom was in a very good position in January. Obviously, I didn't sell anything. I'm a moon boy. But now we crashed. We crashed badly. Even Phantom is like 92% down or something like that. 90. I didn't check today, but yeah. So yeah, it is really bad. But anyway, I'm very, very optimistic myself. I'm very, you know, keen on promoting the Web3 projects, and I want to have a good regulation with the government. I'm doing a lobby group as well with the government, with FCA. So yeah, I'm pretty very active.
Okay, awesome. So how did you initially get into, like, you know, crypto? What made you start the chapter of Offchain Global or Offchain in general? What made you, you know, begin and take on that journey? Because it's a mammoth task, right?
Yeah. So, okay, what happened is that basically I was with Phantom. I was supporting them. But then there was like an internal fight. So basically, eventually I got banned from Phantom itself. And then Jonathan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, you know, in crypto is a lot of fight going on in every project. And it's like, Phantom, I'm still a Phantom investor, by the way, despite of these fights and things like that. Phantom, it has a very good technology, a very, very solid technology, but not good marketing, very bad marketing, but very, very solid technology at the technology level still. And most of the project in crypto still, not only Phantom, but other projects as well. Usually every project is very centralized. Oh, I know we always talk about decentralization, but in the reality, it's not really decentralized
yet. That's true. Yeah, that takes time, right? For any protocol to truly become decentralized, it takes time. And I believe that there are a lot of decentralized protocols that they are basically masquerading as decentralized protocols, but they're actually pretty centralized.
Yes, like Phantom, for instance, Phantom is the more centralized than the Chinese Communist Party, I believe. But anyway, so it is pretty centralized, but not only Phantom, but most of the projects as well, except Bitcoin. Bitcoin is probably the most decentralized, but because of the nature of Bitcoin so probably Bitcoin is really the magic. But basically, anyway, I'm not a Bitcoin maxi, by the way, so I have lots of altcoins, I have everything, so I'm crazy. But anyway, so about the off-chain, so Jonathan approached me at the right time when after this fight with Phantom, and Jonathan, he's the founder for the whole off-chain. And he convinced me eventually to start London, off-chain London, because London is extremely important, really, for crypto and for in general. London is like the city of the money and so on. Well, especially before Brexit, but still we have a lot of VC capital and all the big money still here. But yeah, hopefully it will be now better. We will reach the previous heights before Brexit, because London was even more important, but hopefully we will go back. Anyway, so I started, we started to chat with Jonathan like August. And by November, I've started the first chapter, the chapter in London. And this was, we just started we coming together, like in a pub, we coming together and talk about crypto. So it was very informal. We were just talking about crypto and like a bunch of guys, girls too, coming together. I always promote and encourage girls and female to participate in crypto and Web3, because it's very male dominated, like every tech sector, especially crypto. But now I think it's changing actually. Now we have more and more female.
Yeah.
For instance, next week I will have a new co-founder, and she was working for the UN as a regional director for sustainability. Okay. And now she's going to help me to build off-chain London. So it's great. But anyway, so we started, coming together in a pub, and then eventually we started to grow organically. And by February this year, we were in Vauxhall, in a very nice location. We had already speakers, like a big location, it was sponsored by a nice company. And then April, we had a big event. And then unfortunately, the landlord, suddenly he increased the rent like 100%, so we had to leave the place. Yeah, because they thought this is crypto and they are super rich, so then we can increase the rent.
Yeah.
That's great. And then we left, and then we had to look for a new location and so on. And then eventually I found Microsoft. So the last event was hosted by Microsoft. Microsoft itself co-organized with Microsoft. So it was great. It was epic. And now we will do another event with the NFT gallery. Yeah. So basically it's happening. Crypto is mainstream. And yeah, it's great.
So essentially with off-chain, you guys organize events and educate your audience about crypto. Is that what the format is?
Yes, exactly. And we are agnostic. So I'm not here to promote Phantom or ICP or any other chain or Solana or whatever, but we are like agnostic. So we promote everyone. We promote the whole crypto space and we want mass adoption, really. Obviously, sometimes we need sponsors and these kind of tricky things, because if I can avoid if I can I avoid sponsorship and these kind of things. Obviously, we could have sponsors anytime, but lots of like sketchy or a Ponzi, Ponzi project. And I don't want to sponsor or promote all kind of crap, because it's enough crap in the space without promoting it.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. So, you mentioned that, you guys are in 51 cities, right? Do you have like a footprint in Asia as well?
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, we are very strong in like Taipei and China and lots of locations in China and Vietnam, Hong Kong, Singapore. I mean, everywhere. Yes. So we are... I mean, I can check the website. So it's very, very, very USA, Bali, Bangkok, Beijing, Boston. Yeah, we are in lots of places, and we will reach 100 countries probably within like 10 months maximum. That's the goal.
Wow, that is brilliant. You know, that the kind of the fact that you're able to build a community and sort of sustain it in like 51 different cities. That is brilliant in itself. So do you like have membership of these chapters? Like, how does that work?
Well, yeah, good question. So basically at the moment we have like Telegram groups or WhatsApp groups or WeChat. China prefer like WeChat groups, right. And so on. At the moment, for instance, you can just join and you will be part of the group. Actually, we want to create one in even India as well. There's one guy who might do in India. We haven't done it in India. Obviously, India is massive.
Obviously,
we need India and this kind of, even Germany. Actually, we don't have Germany yet. And Germany is also very important. And India. So obviously, yeah. But we have, so it's very informal at the moment. So for instance, we don't have a DAO, we don't have a coin, we don't have anything like this, which is good and bad at the same time. It's good in a way because it's very pure, yeah? It's not monetized yet at all.
Okay.
Obviously, in the future, this might change like a year time when we want to create like a global brand and with a global partnership and create like a financial background, like monetize the whole thing. Which will happen, but not at the moment. So at the moment, there is nothing. It's kind of good, but the challenge when I organize an event, I have to organize the event from zero budget. So I have to be like a magician. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I wonder how you guys do that. So do you guys like have collaboration with co-working spaces, etc., that allow you to sort of organize the events? Is that how it works?
Well, it's a good question. So it's basically, it's all about connections. So with off-chain, I don't get a salary. I don't get any money out of this or nothing. But what I get is the connections, really. So through the connections, we can get, if you're lucky, a space. Like last time, Microsoft, they really liked this. So they gave us their venue for free and their drinks and everything for free. It was amazing. But obviously, I can't be there always with the Microsoft Reactor in Old Street. So we will be there again, but not every month. So then I have to look for another space. So it's kind of tricky. But in London, we have like DLT Lounge is another organization. I mean, I can go there. We will go there as well, probably at one point. And they also provide like free location, more or less free. And they are good guys, but obviously I don't want to go always the same places. And I myself, I'm very ambitious. I want to go always to the biggest place and the most spectacular space. Yeah. So I'm very ambitious, obviously. I want to like really like mainstream adoption for the crypto.
Right. Okay. And I think this is so important. Like the community aspect obviously is very fundamental to Web3, as well as just the dissemination of the right kind of information. So what you guys are doing with these events is basically getting the right information out there and getting more people to understand and perhaps bridge that learning curve. Would that be correct?
Yes, that's right. And basically the IRL, in real life events, they are getting more and more popular. So that's really important because, crypto is full with scams and bots and especially Twitter, but not only Twitter, so many, Telegram, so many bots, like so many beautiful sexy ladies writing to me, and it's not real. Yeah, it's 99.9% is all like fake. It's like all bullshit.
Right. Yeah,
that's a big problem. So that's why it's important, and that's why it's helping the off chain, like the events, so I can see the people. They exist. They are real. Yeah. So that's kind of reassuring to see the people. Obviously, like this is real. And and it's also about the education, and also it's important the events. So we provide, usually we provide food and drink and everything for free, and there's no tickets. So it's not like an NFT London or an NFT summit where they charge you like £500 or £1,000 for a ticket. It's free. So yeah, and we sometimes do like big events with a very high profile speakers for free. So it's kind of like we create like huge value for the community. Maybe at one point, maybe I can apply for a funding with the Bankless DAO or this kind of organization, a Bankless DAO or other DAOs. Maybe they would be actually happy to fund us. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying, you know, I want to think outside of the box. Yeah.
So if somebody wants to perhaps start a chapter in their city or like a new country, what is like the process there? Because, you know, we have like a very diverse bunch of listeners, and maybe, you know, this speaks somebody's interest, as it has piqued mine. We don't have like a chapter in India, and India is huge. So what is the process going about perhaps, you know, starting a chapter in a new city?
Oh, well, if someone wants to like create a new chapter, I mean, that's great. We want that to happen. And then I'm then happy to connect that person, to have a chat with the founder, with Jonathan, and then we can provide all the support and connections. Because the main thing really is the connections, because we have, you know, so we have New York. So this is really international. We have New York, Boston, you know, Australia and China and Europe and so on. So then we have all the VCs and everything. Yeah, and then we would connect the right people for that city. And if someone wants to start a new city, but we don't have, then we are very eager to support and to find other people as well to start them together. And, you know, we will promote the event and many people will come there for sure. So yeah, we are very eager to start, obviously, new chapters.
Awesome. Probably after this recording, I'll get in touch with you on how to start one in, you know, the capital of India, New Delhi. That would be interesting. I think there is a lot of stuff that is happening in Web3 in India. And I think the community aspect is like huge. And you guys seem to have, you know, cracked it to quite an extent. Like, I'm just very, very impressed by the idea that you guys have chapters in 51 cities. That is brilliant. Like, trying to keep it and sustain it, I think that takes massive amounts of effort.
Yes, it's true. It's kind of challenging as well, but it's a great challenge. For myself, you know, I just quit my job like this Monday. So since Monday, I'm already free. I'm already 24/7 in crypto. Before, I had even a full-time job, and I was building this off-chain London with a full-time job. It was very challenging, obviously, to have a full-time job, like normal job, not crypto job, normal fiat job, yeah, normal charity job. But now I'm free, and now I have a full energy in crypto. So you're talking about Delhi, New Delhi.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. I mean, that will be, yeah, I'm very eager. I mean, after this conversation, I just happy to have a call later on to organize with Jonathan and me and you, and yeah, let's have a chat. Yeah, that will be great. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic, I think. So, you know, we talked about off-chain quite a bit. I would like to tell, you know, I would like you to share with me perhaps what kind of DeFi protocols, or, you know, we know that they are not truly decentralized. That is already clear. But, you know, the DeFi protocols that are masquerading as DeFi protocols, which ones are, you know, your favorite? We know that, you know, you are very, you're into Phantom, and, you know, you've invested in it, but you feel like, you know, it's very centralized. But are there any other protocols that you know, you feel hold a lot of promise, like Phantom does, according to you?
Yeah, the DeFi space is very exciting, obviously, and it's great, and it's very risky as well in a way. For example, you know, Phantom, they were very early in the DeFi. They're one of the creator of DeFi space through Andrew and the Cronje guy. Andrew Cronje, but you know, this DeFi space also, it had like a great success in 2019, 2020 at the beginning, and 2021. But nowadays they got also lots of, you know, hack and failure and lots of problem as well. So it's kind of like a still evolving space. When Phantom, for example, Phantom started the staking, it was even like 48% for a short period of time, like 48%, 50% APY. And then later it became like 25% APY. But now there is a proposal that we might need to reduce the APY like 6%. That will be even lower. That will be even lower than the inflation. So that will be. But answering your questions, well, myself, at the moment, I'm very careful with the DeFi protocols itself. So I'm keeping most of the money like in Bitcoin or other altcoins. But I actually invest into and work with other projects. But probably the best will be to ask these questions my friend, because that other guy, David, he's a DeFi expert. Friend of mine. So this is the power of off-chain, because I know not everyone, but I know many, many people. For example, this guy, he's got a VC based on DeFi. So he's making money out of DeFi, and he's just focusing only on DeFi only. Yeah. So he knows everything about DeFi, and he's hedging against, you know, the DeFi, and he's doing like, he's making money only out of this. My other friend is another VC. He's making money only from NFT. So some people, you know, specialize on NFT. Some people specialize on DeFi. And myself, I specialize on the community building. And also not only community building, but like support, like fundraising for projects, which has also DeFi elements, although.
So I have two follow-up questions to this. So regarding, you mentioned that, you know, your strength is community building. So what do you think are very essential to community building in Web3? Like, what are the three things that you think must happen if you are trying to build a successful community in Web3?
Well, so many Web2 projects, Web2 people, they want to become like a Web3, and they are like promoting this. But sometimes, you know, for example, let's just tell you an example. For example, it's very important that the startups, so there's lots of startups, even now, which is amazing in the bear market, lots of startups, which is kind of funny, isn't it? You want to launch a project in a bear market. So that's very brave and very ambitious, because even now I'm fundraising for actually three projects, and they want to raise money right now, which is kind of exciting. It kind of breaks, but anyway, so basically, just an example. So for instance, there are VC company who are like raising, they want to have startups to meet with the VCs, but so they are targeting like Web3 startups, but their own model, it's like a Web2 model, because they want to charge like £300 for a 2 minutes pitch deck, and £400 for 3 minutes, and £500 for 5 minutes, and then they will promote it for the VCs and so on. But come on, a startup, they are raising money because they don't have money. Why would they raise money? Otherwise they wouldn't raise money if they have money. So basically it's kind of crazy. So this is like a Web2 model. So basically
it is
the Web3 must be like free in a way. So if I support startups, if I want to, you know, make all the startups to pitch to me, then I will not charge any money for them, because what are we talking about? This is nonsense. This is crazy. Because, you know, the VC, they need quality project. The VC would die. The VC cannot exist without startups, isn't it? So that's crazy. So why would I charge a startup for pitching? So
That is very wrong. I think I've always felt very strongly like you do about this, because, you know, if a startup had money, they wouldn't really be pitching to raise money, right? So, you know, asking them to pay money for like a deck or for to pitch or just to, you know, give a product demo, that's abominable, I think. It's horrible for the ecosystem as a whole. That, you know, you're just being the leech. That, you know, you're trying to leech off these, at times, very desperate founders who are just trying to keep their company afloat.
Yeah. Yes, unfortunately, yes. But guess what? This their model is still working because we haven't done, I will organize probably a model, like a group where the startup can pitch for the big VCs and for free, not like they're paying £500 just to pitch. So we will organize a thing like a mega star for the startups or something like that. Like Simon Cowell kind of thing.
I completely agree. I think that, you know, the entire space is still very unorganized. And there is, you know, when it is organized, then there is a business model that comes into play, which kind of preys on these entrepreneurs. So, yes, there is a lot of work that is, you know, kind of required there as well. So when you, again, you know, you mentioned that there is the community aspect that, you know, you rely on as your strength, and the other aspect is raising funds for startups. So how do you go about doing that? Is it, are you putting them in touch with VCs via your network? Are you like an investment? Are you in touch with an investment bank, or, you know, if that is something that you're doing? And how can startups get in touch with you if they need your help?
Yeah, it's very complex. So myself, I'm always looking for, I'm like a networker, I'm like a connector. So I'm always looking to connect the right people together. So there is the money people, and there are the talents. So if I see some potential collaboration or synergy, then I'm always happy to connect. For example, if a startup coming to me, I always happy to have them, even for absolutely free, for a limited time. Like, I happy to give them a connection for free, like, one, connect them with Amazon or connect them with a big company for free, but once, but not like I start to work them 24/7 for free, because come on, I have also limited time one day, so you can't, you know, and then I have to always have to say no to many startups, because obviously I want to work only with the best one, really, because it's like you don't want to waste your time really either.
Yeah. And it's very resource intensive, right? Like,
yeah, huge competition.
Yeah.
So there's a huge competition as well. So, but anyway, we have, you know, for example, we have our off-chain London Telegram. So I'm always very happy if someone wants to, you know, share what they're doing or like shilling themselves. It's fine. It's no problem. I mean, let's promote, or let's, you know. I'm always open to learn about everyone's activity, learn more about everyone's activity. So that's fine.
Okay. Interesting. So apart from off-chain, what other communities do you think are doing a good job in like building a good network for or a good support system for entrepreneurs, and like a great ecosystem? Or perhaps like a great ecosystem with entrepreneurs, mentors, VCs, investors as well, apart from off-chain?
So these people, usually 95% is all like crypto professionals already. So they are, you know, exchange and NFT project. So we have a global NFT group, and we have like a global, like a general group, and also like a trading group, and then DeFi group, and so on, even a meme group, which is my favorite, because some groups, they don't like, you know, if I post like a memes, but there's the meme, you know, it's so important for me, because the root, the degen people, the root of crypto is coming from this, like a meme. It's like a joke, but it's not a joke, but it's fantastic. It's like Doge. I don't have actually Doge coin, but yeah, it's like the from the spirit of Doge coin coming. But yeah, but by the way, Shiba Inu is my good friend, the co-founder of Shiba Inu. But I don't have Shiba Inu either. But anyway, so it's mostly like crypto people, and so even exchanges, many exchanges, like Binance, crypto.com, and so on. So yeah, it's crypto people already. But obviously, we are happy to have the, you know, the new people who just want to learn more. But I don't know why, but somehow these are all like professionals. They are already in the industry. they are already working in the crypto space.
Right. Okay. And, you know, there is obviously Offchain that is doing a fantastic job at, you know, building this community with an ecosystem of all kind of stakeholders in the Web3 space. Do you think there are other community builders who you're kind of envious of, that they are also doing a fantastic job in building their community?
I mean, for example, I am very open and always going to other events, so not only our own events. Obviously, I love to connect with people in general. In general, I love people. For example, I like, if I can promote another network like Crypto Monday, they are probably the other big group. They have like 45 countries, something like that. So they are doing a brilliant job. And I always going to their event as well, if I can, if I have the time. Yeah, but they are very good as well. So yeah, we are doing the same thing. So we want to, you know, we want to promote crypto to the masses. So yeah, it's right. So what I see, you know, for example, just a simple example, because, you know, we want good regulation in the UK, in London, we want a good crypto-friendly regulation and so on, and overall globally as well. But what I see that actually we don't even know, to be honest, what regulation we want. So what we need is more coordination between amongst us. We need more coordination because we are even not sure actually what regulation exactly we want.
Right. So when it comes to, obviously, when it comes to regulation, then I have to talk about, you know, how the lack of policy in certain countries is actually hurting entrepreneurs who are looking to build, right? Because it kind of creates this very uncertain sort of circumstances for them to be, you know, just focused on building. What is your take on this? What is your take on just the policy, and which countries you think are getting it right?
Yeah. Like India, you are in India, isn't it? And
yes, I'm in India currently. Yes, I travel a lot, but right now, yeah.
Yeah, and they have this crazy, like, tax, super high tax,
policy, yeah,
which is not really great and not really encouraging. It's kind of like it's not sustainable for sure. I mean, it's probably they will change it, I guess.
Yeah, so we are hopeful that, you know, they will come around and the policy would be a little more, the policy when we do see it, it will be a little more encouraging. I was a part of the, you know, the government body that was making representations to the government for blockchain. Now it has been disbanded, but, you know, we are hopeful because of those conversations that, you know, we've had. So the government is trying to understand, but I do understand from their perspective as well that, you know, they do want to, we kind of get in our own echo chamber. So we are in the Web3 space and we understand this. But then there are, you know, millions out there who don't understand crypto and they can fall prey to certain scams and struggle, basically, with their hard-earned money. So they do want to perhaps coddle them a little bit and, you know, make sure they are protected. But I think that there are better ways to, I do believe that there are better ways to actually go about doing that. Rather, because if you're looking at Web3, if you're looking at DeFi, then a lot of the responsibility of, you know, if you want to have prerogative to do whatever you want with your money, then, you know, you need to be able to shoulder that responsibility as well. So I don't believe that, you know, the policymaker should coddle users or potential users so much. But having said that, I do get that point. I do think that, you know, this entire policy thing, et cetera, is completely at odds with the very essence of Web3 and, decentralization.
Yes. My strategy, you know, when I talk with the policymakers and the government lobby, because I'm very ambitious. I want to create also like a lobby group for us, off-chain, like a lobby arm. But this is tricky, you know, because when you create like a lobby arm, you can't create the same way like I created like the off-chain London, like, you know, free, you know, this very noble principle, free, everything free with a lobby group. It's impossible to create a lobby group without funding, without money. That's not possible. So for the lobby group, you need money. That's 100% sure. Even if you have all the connection of the world, you still need money for sure. But that's the nature of lobbying, you know. But anyway, so about the taxation and what I do with the government, I always involve into the conversation like like economists, but normal traditional like trade file, normal economists, traditional economists, not only crypto. So not only crypto people, but also the people from outside, because they are part of the conversation anyway, even if we like it or not. But that's inevitable.
Right.
So yeah, we have to involve them no matter what. Yeah,
that is true. We absolutely have to find a way to find perhaps a middle ground, so that both these, the traditional financial system as well as this new parallel economy that they're creating, they can work in tandem, because there is it's not going to be one or the other.
Yes. So if you can involve them, that might help us, so they can understand more where we're coming from. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's exciting. Obviously, we are in an exciting times, and we always saying like we are early, but actually we are really early. Actually, it's like a meme, but we are actually early, very early.
We are. I think crypto and Web3 and people who are in it are still very, very early, because there are people who don't understand the very basics, and there is nothing wrong with that, because there is a lot happening and this is something so new. But there are so many people who don't understand the basics that makes you kind of realize that yes, we are very early. And it's very easy for us to get into, as I said, our own echo chambers and think that we have like we are closer to mass adoption, but we are nowhere close to that. And for that, a lot of things need to change in Web3 before we actually can knock on the door of mass adoption.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, we need, for instance, we need ease of use. It's still MetaMask and all that. It's still like clumsy to use sometimes, and you have to be like a nerd and so on. Obviously, these things must be so easy, so everyone can use it. Not like you have to be like a Vitalik or you have to be like a genius to use them.
The
interface. So yeah, it's so much more to do. For example, I'm not a nerd. I'm the benchmark. If I can use it, then everyone can use it, basically. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So no, a lot needs to change. I think I completely agree. I feel that right now we're at that stage where perhaps email was in the early 90s, right? Not everybody was using it, but the entire process is a little complicated for anybody to even think of going about doing it. But later, and so was the case with the internet, not everybody was using it, and not everybody could use it or think of a utility that will actually of the internet that will actually help them, right? So not everybody was online, but slowly but surely the UI improved, and now we've come to a point that internet is indispensable to everybody, even my grandparents. So, everybody is online, and you don't need to necessarily understand how the internet works to be able to derive value from it. And I think Web3 needs to be there, that you don't need to understand how blockchain, Web3 protocols, DeFi protocols, how do they work for you to be able to derive value. So, I see a world where it'll be completely seamless, and your problem is getting resolved, and that is why the user is utilizing your protocol. And nothing else, and they don't really need to understand the tokenomics, and maybe not even have a MetaMask, that is just to ease the use or the UX problem. So because I do think that Web3 has a huge UX problem in general, that users just don't know how to. There is a huge learning curve, and we need to resolve that before we can get to mass adoption.
Yeah, for instance, my friend Harry Horsford is the founder for Zebu Live.
Right.
Zebu Live is like, they will have a big event in 20 seconds.
Yeah, I think there is an event right now as well, right? Probably in September sometime, there is an event in London, I think.
Yes, they will do this big event. And this guy is telling me that, not only me, he's telling usually that before in the 2000, the companies, they had to have like a digital strategy, like a digital presence on the internet. It was a must. But now we are heading towards a different age where the companies, they must have like a web free strategy. And this is really the buzzword. So all the companies who wants to survive, they will need a web free presence and web free strategy. And that's what we, that's the opportunity ahead of us, and capitalize on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're kind of on the same page there. Okay, so, you know, I've just seen the time. I think that, you know, we're running short of it. So now coming to my last two questions. What, according to you, this has been such a good conversation that I really just can see the time. But yeah, so I would like to understand, what are your recommendations when it comes to, you know, places from where people can actually glean about Web3, blockchain and crypto and get the right kind of information? So, you know, would you like to recommend any books or any thought leaders, any podcasts that, you know, you tune into and you think that those kind of, you know, give out the right information and our listeners can tune in there as well?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Well, some like hidden bookstore, like my friend, for instance, my friend in Barcelona, Ivan Mary, he likes to go to London to some secret bookstore, and in the books, bookshops, you can buy like some secret books, which explaining Web3 and metaverse and the metaverse, like in a very detailed and amazing way. But myself, well, YouTube channel, obviously there are lots of YouTube channels, but, you know, is and podcasts and you know, all of them. But myself, it's always good to have like a community. So not only off-chain, because yeah, of course I'm getting my information from off-chain, from the community, like first-hand information, probably that's the best. Then you have like an alpha leak, like an insider information. And that's really the best. But obviously not only off-chain, but there are other, I'm part of also other Telegram groups and other groups where I know those people for many years. And I get the information like this way. So, you know, through the people, obviously through the people, like firsthand information, really. Like what they say or what they what they share. So, you know, if you know people, like, you know, those people already for years. So then if that person share with you something, then I will take a look actually what's happening.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. That seems like good advice. So coming to, you know, the absolute last question that I ask everybody who comes on the show, if we have people from Web3 and, you know, who are peering in from the outside and they're looking at whether they can get into Web3, what would be your 2 cents for them to start living on blockchain?
So they want to start blockchain.
Yeah, if they want to get into the Web3 space or, you know, get involved in crypto somehow, but they're still, like, you know, kind of afraid because it, from the outside, Web3 seems very, you know, it's a niche, right? It's very esoteric. Not everybody, you know, sort of seems to think that it'll be too techie and it'll be too nerdy and they might not be able to make it in this space. What would be your 2 cents for them to, you know, just take that leap of faith and get into Web3?
Well, of course. So join off-chain, whatever chapter they live in, or join off-chain and then let's have a chat. Obviously, it's really is a good advice, really, because then we can connect them with lots of companies, lots of VC, lots of, you know, lots of industry professionals. Basically, this will be like a good start. But obviously, it's like Web3 is really like, they have to be careful as well, because really it's like a minefield. Because even just, you know, I just spoken like a couple of days ago with one of my friends. Actually, I just met with the guy. We are going to the same school. We're bringing our son to the same school. And the guy told me that he was just scammed 3 months ago, like £25,000. He just lost £25,000 because some scammers convinced me that he needs to invest money Coinbase in some project into Coinbase, but it was actually a scam. They didn't invest anything. They just took his money, basically. Yeah. So these scams. So if you don't know, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, there's a good chance that someone will try to scam you. So, you know, in crypto, really they have to educate themselves first. So if, you know, there's so many ways that they try to scam you. They want to, you know, offer you some amazing group where they give you like every day like a profit. If something is too good to be true, that's probably not true. So, you know, these kind of things.
Right.
So yeah, they have to really educate themselves to avoid this constant, you know, wave of scammers and Ponzi, and they have to be very careful, obviously, and But you know, there are like good communities and DAO and so on. And if they, you know, find the right people, then maybe they will not lose too much money. But probably maybe it's inevitable to, you know, go through this special period when you pay the learning fee. You pay the price.
That's true. But you know, that is, I think, good advice that, you know, you have to kind of learn before you get your hands dirty a little bit, because otherwise there is a good chance that, you know, you'll get scammed. Absolutely. Because I think, again, this industry is very new. It's in its infancy. And, you know, there are the good ones as well. But the bad ones are obviously, they, you know, they get more publicity. But that doesn't mean that, you know, this entire industry is like, is full of scamsters. It's just that, you know, the bad elements are there, I think, in every industry. And, you know, you need to be a little careful where you're putting in your money.
Yes. Yes. But, they can, you know, join not only Opchain, but other influencers, to check on in the Twitter and YouTube. Yeah. And the Telegram, and just buy. If I just give one advice, not financial advice, obviously, if they just buy some Bitcoin and hold it for 2 years in 2024, like May or end of 2024, it's pretty easy to see it will be like 100,000, 5x at least, 5x.
Absolutely.
The easiest, profit. Unless, obviously, unless if there is a big war with China, Taiwan, then anything is possible. Then that's the risk. If there will be some unexpected war, like nuclear war, then we are screwed.
Yeah.
But we don't want that, obviously. Hopefully that will not happen.
Obviously. I mean, nobody wants that. Then everybody's screwed, I think.
It's
going to be the crypto.
But otherwise, we're going to the moon because the Bitcoin halving is coming up within 2 years, the next halving.
Right. Yes. So I do think that, you know, I'm very optimistic as well. And obviously, this is not financial advice, as you said, but there is, you know, if you do want to start, then starting with something like a OG token, like, you know, a Bitcoin would be a better bet than, you know, perhaps getting into alts immediately.
Well, you know, Bitcoin is just the safest. Obviously, with the altcoins, you have a bigger chance, like bigger profit, like 50 times, 50x or even 100x. Even myself, I'm invested into a new layer one protocol, like Foil protocol, Foil network, and I'm promoting that coin. And that's like a big potential, like 100x, 1000x. But also, there is a potential that they go bust. So there's a potential that you lose all your money. With Bitcoin, that's not really the Bitcoin is like 95% chance that it's really happening. Yeah. So, but the other ones is more riskier, a lot riskier. So that's the challenge.
Absolutely.
So Bitcoin is always the safest. So it's good to have some money in Bitcoin always. Just to.
This should be on the safe side or on the side of caution.
Yeah. But obviously it's good if you have some moon bag as well, which you can have the 100x and the 1000x and so on. The big money, the real big money, but obviously that these are riskier bets.
Absolutely. Okay, this has been a really great conversation, Daniel. Thank you so much for taking out the time to speak to me. And any parting thoughts before we wrap this up?
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Tarusha. It was a pleasure. I'm happy to come back again and start to actually talk about my portfolio and promote what we are doing and building. But anyway, it was a pleasure. And the final thought will be like, be safe. And obviously never invest all your money into one project. That's the best way to get wrecked. And I've done it myself. At one point, I invested like 95% of my money into one project. I still have my coins, you know. I have this principle. I never sell for a loss. And this is a very good principle, but very expensive as well. It's very expensive when you got nothing right. It's very expensive. But sometimes it's great, actually. But so stay safe. Yeah, that's the final.
Those are good parting words. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.